we've talked about a whole lot of things. And this last Sunday, those of you who were with us, this whole premise of dealing with crisis, faith crisis. Spirit of God said, you know what, you need to kind of stay on that for a little bit, and you need to just kind of open the floor and let's have some discussion about faith crises. Because some of us are experiencing faith crises. And many times in terms of faith crisis, it doesn't mean that things are going wrong. It just means that certain things that you're expecting to go a particular way, it's just not going that way. So stop, keep, just wait, man.
Okay.
So I wanted to open the floor a little bit more because I felt like, you know, after Sunday, I opened it up for people to respond to it. It's kind of like it's still settling in people's spirits. And so tonight I want to kind of touch upon that, and then there are some other things that I want to share with you when other people show up. On top of which, I'm going to also talk a little bit about the Lifeline, which, let me just share this with you. Our budget that I shared with you, we met the budget. Okay. To be able to cover what the expenses that we had, and we actually came under budget, so there's some extra stuff that I'm going to be able to do in our new meeting place to have our Bible study session. So all this classroom stuff that we're doing right now, it's going to be fresh. Yeah, it's Apple TV, the whole nine, I'm saying. Not because of stuff, but just because I feel like a part of what represents you guys as young adults and places that y'all would hang out, that y'all do. Why, as a church, do we not have that? Amen. And the instruction was like God said, use what you have. And so we got it. It's going down. So in September, I think it's the 7th, the first Wednesday in September, we'll be meeting at the new spot. It's going to be fresh. It's perfect. Good? Okay, so, go.
You're talking about faith crisis. I want to know, is this a faith crisis or is it something different? If it's different, I guess.
First of all, let's redefine what a faith crisis is. What is that? Because there's some people who just kind of let's put a day. Are you in this Sunday? On the spot. That's what I do. What is a faith crisis from what you understand? What you mean? Okay, that's fine. That's why we write it. That's why we take notes. Faith crisis.
I just really have the right mindset even when everything else is wrong.
Okay. You borrowed that from my title. I'll let you slide with that.
That's all.
Good. But what is it?
Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
crisis, that defining crisis, a critical point, a turning point. Okay. Anybody else?
When you lack the trust that God is leading you to this.
That's the definition, yeah.
Wait. Hold that question.
Okay.
Would you say again what you just said so that everybody has an understanding of what a faith crisis is?
A faith crisis is when you lack the trust that God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do.
Everybody understand that? If you don't understand that, raise your hand and I'll make it clear in terms of that definition because there was a lot of information that went with that. Faith comes from God. It's established by God. Faith. So, if the religious thought of faith, religions, we're not talking about that. We're saying, from a biblical standpoint, my trust and my confidence in God, who can do anything because he's God, that when he doesn't do what I think he should do, I have a crisis. I have a turning point. I have a challenge in what I believe because he's God. He's supposed to do everything. He should be able to do everything, but that he didn't do what I needed him to do. That doesn't sound like a crisis. I'm going to pick on you. But anyway, so, a day you got that. You understand? Don't be just stealing my title. This is the answer. Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Okay.
So, you had a question. All
right, the question, I guess it was hitting on also what Pastor Fred talked about last Wednesday when he was saying, you know, we should write down when we have what looks like stuff that does not line up, you know, something that says on one hand you have this, but on the other hand you have that, and like, how can you have both of those things going on? It's like stuff that don't make sense in the word. But something with, it's a lot of stuff, you know, but one thing that I'm thinking of right now is like, it has to do with has to do with what we consider, I guess, prospering, or, you know, the part about God saying we're supposed to have, like, abundant life, or, you know, as far as everything in there about religion. It's like,
you just, you know what you're doing.
What am I?
Finish your thought.
When you're not seeing that, or you're not living that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm supposed to have abundant life, but all I'm doing is scraping by. Now, I don't know the future, but as far as right now, it's like, this ain't either, this don't apply to me somehow, it ain't true for me, or, you see what I'm going with this?
Yes, like, I see what you're going with. Okay. So come landing, so I
go. Oh, I'm pretty much landing. That's it. Either this ain't true, or you're supposed, you know, I know everything that you, everything else that you've done for me, I'm not denying anything that you've done, and I know you're with me, blessings, all that other stuff, but everything, it's like my trust and my faith in every last word in there being that you're going to make that true. It's like, I don't know, there's some stuff in there, it's like, I don't know, but that ain't been true for me.
Like, okay, what, so when you talk about it ain't been true for me, we'll take as an example, you're talking about this abundant life thing, right?
Yeah, we'll go with that one for right now.
Let's go with that.
That's the one that's in my head right now.
I got you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Because you said what you said were actually two different things, and I think you're equating them with the same, and they're not the same.
Let's start there.
You said abundant life and prosperity. Those two are not the same thing, and people misconstrue that. People think that just because God says, I will give you life, and I'll give you life more abundantly, that automatically means that if you're a Christian, you're automatically supposed to be rich, or you're supposed to have all this money and savings, or you're supposed to be doing all this stuff. Those two things are not the same. So if that's what you're thinking, then we got to first deal with that part of it, because abundant life and prosperity are not equal to each other. They're not the same thing.
Because when I was thinking about this concept, I was also thinking about Christianity when it was first established. Those people that were first getting saved in the first century church, I'm not thinking, I don't know, but I'm not thinking it was about wealth back then. But they were, you know, great Christians, and they even had to die for their faith. And so it's like, you know, a lot is geared towards, because in this country, we don't have to die for our faith. So we more look for the building.
I'm sorry.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
So we kind of more focus on the blessings from God versus God, you know, in my, as far as dying for our faith. Like in other countries, to say you're a Christian means you're probably going to die early, dude. Are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I believe God. I love God. Yes, I'm willing to die. But we don't have to make that decision in this country when we say yes to God.
I hear you. I hear you. That's a great point. So let's deal within what all of us are dealing with, or have dealt with, and are processing. And what you're talking about is God's provision.
Yeah.
God's promises for provision.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because we have a provision, we kind of equate with some level of wealth. I don't know that, I'm going to leave that to the individual person, what where you're trying to go with it, but it's equated with some level of wealth. But provision, what Joseph was saying, may not mean a certain level of wealth, just the fact that your needs are being met. And I'm like, hold on, you know, you kind of twisting me up here with that.
Why?
That's true. Because,
why? So let's do this, Keith. Let's do this. Let's define provision, biblical provision, as compared to wealth or prosperity.
Yes.
Let's define those things. And let's go to our resident guru. Not you. I'm not asking him.
Oh, Joseph, okay.
I'm not asking him yet, because y'all not ready for him yet. But our resident guru, in regards to the issue of Joseph, define biblical provision. In other words, what God, how God, how God defines what provision is from his perspective for us. What is that? What is that?
So it transcends, provision transcends commerce. It's not solely commerce. It's also spiritual. So the biggest thing is it's spiritual. It's provision spiritually as far as the people that you are talking about this and why did they convert? They knew they had to die. It was a spiritual thing. They were trying to see what's the truth. That was a big thing for people in ancient times anyway. What is the truth? What should I follow? How should I live my life? And then once they heard the message of the gospel and the good news, they were like, well, this has to be true. And they heard the witnesses and they saw the signs and what they're possibly doing. And they said, well, I'm going to follow this. And I have faith in this. Now I have something to believe in. And it's a spiritual thing. And that's why they laid their life in. As far as dying, everything is, you know, when they say we war with, it's not with flesh and blood, it's, you know, principalities, men in high places. It's true, it holds true in the sense that almost everything is you can look at it in a carnal, with carnal eyes or with spiritual eyes. And that's provision, that's your life, it's anything. So as far as, not close with this, as far as people dying in that sense, yeah, it was more physical, but today, you still have that risk, but you also have to, you know, like I said, the word to die daily, and that's just to your own, you know, lust and temptation as far as, you know, you might want to do something. You deny yourself that before the Father, because something you learned from your word, that you are spiritually dying.
And you are provided for.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes.
Okay, so. Let's deal with that from a biblical standpoint. God's provision, and I'm gonna bring it into the real world sense, because we're talking about having stuff to be able to eat. Like when you go to the house, you got money either to buy something to eat, coffee for yourself and not for your pastor. Anyway, you have the ability to access stuff because you have commerce, right? And we translate that as what?
Money.
Money. What we call that being what?
Or access.
And you have it, right?
Yeah.
You have it. What you have in certain countries, you talk about the issue of people dying for their faith,
yeah.
But in certain countries, you are a rich man.
Okay.
Are you right tracking?
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask this question. In regards to provision, provision is all about perspective. Somebody just talk to me.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
It's all about perspective. How many of us have been in other countries to know what we have as compared to what they have? We are filthy in certain countries. Well, okay, so this is my point. Perspective. Because you haven't been outside the country to experience an individual who would look at you and say, how many pairs of shoes do you have? See, you got to think about it. You are rich. I got to think about it, too. I got kids. But the point is, the fact that you have to even think about it, for a person who's from a country where they don't even have shoes, you are a rich and prosperous dude. Perspective. Right? So the first thing that we have to do from a biblical understanding is that when it comes to God, what you have, what you possess from his perspective is what he wants you to have at this point in time, which is why Joseph taught the issue of to be content. Not to be satisfied and say, well, this is all I'm going to ever have. Why? Because you don't know that. Here's the other thing that you have to consider. If you are struggling with finances, things of that nature, you'll have to do inventory of your life for real. This is why he taught the principles that he taught. Because, and I'm not saying you keep, but I'm saying if you look at the aspect of a lot of people who quote-unquote listen to the prosperity message and things of that nature, there are people who are giving promises without putting in the work. And the work that I'm talking about is not so much get a job, da 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 da. I'm just simply talking about, do you pray?
Amen.
to acknowledge that God is the one who is going to provide for you, or are you leaning on your own understanding? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Most people, if you're going to do inventory, we do see people sitting there crying, scared. But if we're going to be honest, if we're struggling in the area of our provision, it's because we're really not trusting in the Lord with all of our heart.
Are you even asking God about your finances?
No, you're not, because you don't want to be responsible for it.
Because we create bills, and then we want to pray and ask God to help us pay the bills, but then God didn't even tell you to do what you did to create the bills to begin with.
Okay, the provision that I've been praying for this for a long time, and but it's like, I did right by going to college, right? That's what you tell your kids. Go to college, get an education. So I did that. Yes, I had to get student loans to do that.
Right.
I had to pay those student loans back.
Yes,
and I was like, Lord, just give me that amount so I can give it to them so they can be off my back.
Right.
Okay, that prayer hasn't been answered.
Why not?
Because he hasn't given me that amount so I can give it to them so they can get off my back.
Have you not eaten because of that?
Have I been not eating?
Yeah.
No,
I go with
them. Hold on. I know where you're going.
Okay.
The amount of the debt that I am in, and I am not supposed to be in debt. I'm supposed to be the one that gives the money and not needs money.
Yes, sir.
So I look at the amount of debt that I am in, and it is way above the amount of funds that if I wanted to write a check to everybody, it would be debt-free. I can't do that right now. So it's like, okay, and I've been in that position for years, and it's like,
sir,
you see what I'm saying? You ain't
answered.
You ain't gave me no more. I've been praying. I've been doing what I, supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do more. But it's like,
and you know, let me answer.
Go ahead. Okay, I just want you to know where I was at.
I feel you, man. I'm not knocking anything that you're saying. When I say what I need to say to you, I need you to be settled in. Okay? So before I say what I need to say, anybody else want to talk about what he just said? Because that's a real situation. Does anybody else want to inject this issue of money that you owe your school and on somebody, maybe somebody or some entity that you going, if I had the check money direct, I could just do that. God, I'm praying to you, please do such and such and such and such. And just for some strange reason, God is not answering, I'm doing that. He's not answering your prayer. Anybody know what that feeling is?
I can attest to that.
Okay, I don't need the story.
I can attest to that.
So, I'm just asking us to connect with our brother in terms of what he's presenting. Because once again, in Bible study, we can talk all day about what God says about provision and all of that. But here's a real life scenario. Okay, mm-hmm. I pray. I've been dealing with this debt for how many years? It's 2004, it's 2016, so you're talking about over 10 years, right? My money does not even scratch the surface of what I owe. And I have other things now that are piling up on me. Because the type of income that I need to make just to quote unquote live, I don't even make that. Because I have some other things going on that most people don't understand, and I prayed to God about that, and he doesn't seem to have answered that either. Right? So I'm right there with you.
That's a crisis. Because
yes,
I do not knock anything that I can see with my eyes, the grace and the mercy and love. I don't knock any of that. I see you're with me. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Don't
see
me. Right. But it's like everything else you just said. So,
does anybody want to interject now? Not so much statements. I don't need y'all to preach at him. I just need y'all to kind of confirm what he's talking about, maybe in your own personal experience in regards to not having enough for what it is that you're talking about, natural provision, not having enough to meet that need. Praying to God in regards to it, and God, and I'm going to say this, seemingly not answering your prayer, and that discouraged you to the point where you say to yourself, okay, I still love God. I'm not renouncing God, but I got to handle this. Anybody?
Withdrawal notice after withdrawal notice after withdrawal notice, having to eat frozen pizza and ramen noodles because you couldn't make ends meet. Praying and asking God, what's happening? I don't understand. I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm going to Bible study. I'm paying my tithe. I don't understand. At the time, a two-income house, I really don't understand what's happening. How is it that we're making this much money, but we can't seem to make ends meet? There's a problem. And praying and praying and praying and not seeing like anything's happening. Then listening, quote unquote, not necessarily to a prosperity message, but having someone say to you, well, the reason why you don't have it is because you're just not believing hard enough. And if you would believe and just trust God that it'll work out, why don't you just write down what it is that you're asking God to do and be doing that and it's still not happening? Like, okay, Lord, what is it really?
Faith crisis. Anybody else?
So right after, in the Bible, right after it talks about how you can't serve two gods, two masters, but you will either love one or hate the other as far as mammon, like man, God, and money. And so right after it talks about that, then Jesus goes into talking about how you should not worry, how you shouldn't worry about...
What's that found at?
That's found in Matthew 6. I don't know the verse.
The end of the Matthew 6, because it's the whole
thing. So and it talks about how you shouldn't worry. So first off, it's funny how the premise is, it was talking about money beforehand, and then it starts talking about the sparrows of the field and how, you know, they neither sow nor reap, and they have enough food. You see them in their pocket, you see birds every day, so how we provide for them. And then the grass on the field, who's clothing that? And are you not worth more than many sparrows? And so don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on your body. Today's trouble is enough. But seek first the kingdom of God. So pretty much that's when I get to that and start thinking about that in any aspect of my life. I always say, well, I need to seek God first. I'm resting in Him. And then it turns all those words into, okay, what can I be grateful for? And then when I'm starting saying, what am I grateful for, then I really dissect my life and look at what I'm doing and saying, well, I'm not really being the best steward of what I already have. And a lot of these problems I created. Isn't that like...
Can I interject? I'm going to interject and I'm going to ask others to talk about this real situation that we're talking about, because this type of faith crisis, most believers, people, this is where we get stuck. Because one, our perspective is off. We haven't been to other countries to see. We're pretty rich. I'm talking personally, as compared to some other people. I went to Africa. Went to Nigeria. I went to a pretty nice area in Nigeria. And if I had to go by the world standard of places that you stay at, right? Here in America, five-star hotels, you got the amenities, you go into the restroom and it's got the two toilet bowls, right? Anybody know anything about that? When I experienced that, when I first went in, I was like, what do you do with that? I got that now.
No, somebody asked.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know. So we talk about perspective.
It's like a water fountain for your blood.
In Nigeria, I was blessed with turning the water on, there was water coming out in a place that would be considered a 1.5-star hotel by our standards. And to go there and to turn your nose up to what they have as their best, what kind of person does that make me, right? So it's about perspective. That's the first thing we have. You got to deal with your perspective. This is what the scripture speaks about. It's like, consider the birds. Do they worry about it? So we sit there and go, all right, Lord, but you know, for real, I got rent to pay. I got a car note. I have loans that I've been sitting on for 14, 15, 16 years. I have children that I have to feed. I'm not making enough money. I hadn't finished my education. So all of these things that we begin to share with God in regards to our need, when we pray to Him and we don't get an answer, we have a crisis. We have a problem because there's an expectation for God, watch this, to fulfill what he's promised, right? Anybody?
Or even simpler than that, we have an expectation that if we ask God, that he's going to tell us. Whether it's yes, no, whatever it is, we have an expectation that if we go to him, that we're going to get an answer. And then he doesn't answer. And we're stuck like, wait a minute, I did what I was supposed to do.
So right, I did what I was supposed to do. I did all that I could do. Anybody been there where I have exhausted all of me. Anybody ever been there yet? I have done all that I know to do. And this situation is well above my pay grade. Okay. Go ahead, Joseph.
I was going to piggyback. So two things. One, Jesus kind of spoke about when somebody is looking for an answer to prayer, I kind of lumped that into seeking a sign. And so Jesus says, you know, when they came up to him, the people questioned him, like, give us a sign. He says, you know, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I hear with you? This generation seeks a sign, and I assure you no sign will be given to it. And then in some other translation, says, except for the sign of Jonah. So I guess you could say the correction. However, you're going to see the sign, but you're not going to get a sign. And then at the same, the second part of that is when Thomas, when he came back and he was resurrected from the dead, and his disciple, his apostle, saying, I won't believe unless I can go and touch the rib, the hole, and put his hand. And he said, well, no, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who don't see and still believe. So blessed are those who not getting all this provision and seeing other people get wealth and they still believe in me and they don't, you know, curse my name. Blessed are those who don't have everything that they were praying for, but they still believe anyway. You know, so that's just how.
So you're trying to say that to say that it's, is that another way to get us to change our perspective?
No.
Because
no.
What it is that you're saying that if we're praying, we're asking for an answer. It's the equivalent of praying and asking for a sign. And you're saying that Jesus said we're not going to get a sign. And we're still left at square one. We're still left with the dilemma.
Let's go back to
anytime you're tempting God, it's not going to come. So if you're fervently seeking God, then good things will happen to you. I'm not saying that nothing's going to ever happen good to you. I'm saying, but if your intention behind doing what you're doing or praying is to receive something or to get something, and you're going to be let down thinking that, you know, because people, they twist the verses up saying, for instance, if you already believe that God's going to do these things for you, like, such as moving the mountains, you know, they muddy it up.
What's your first loss for him? I don't want to just be lost with the reality. Everything you're saying is right. But your question was, and this is a legitimate question, because you're praying and you're asking God for something, it's not equivalent to give me a sign. It's not equivalent.
Because it's not always money, it's not always stuff. It's like,
okay, but
what
that, but I'm gonna say this.
So what my off as far as where we're going with the
book? No. But what I'm saying is we gotta start with stuff because that's where people get stuck. First with the that's what we talk
about. Okay.
It's the stuff, it's the things that I have going on that are far above, I'm going to say it again because it's a pretty cool phrase, my pay grade, my ability to take care of this. I'm saying now, God, I need you to do this because I can't. They really know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, let's be real with our perspective on the relationship with God. Okay, so I keep throwing this word out, perspective, because it's very vital for us to understand you're going to have trouble in this world. Said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue of trouble, the issue of tribulation, the issue of going through something is connected to the issue of dispensation that we just finished talking about. How is it connected? Somebody answer that. Ask that question. How is it connected?
How is it connected?
Okay, so in each dispensation, there was only but a limited amount of information that God dispensed to the people because they were not ready. Well, they couldn't, per their spiritual condition, they couldn't deal with what God wanted them to do. Each dispensation. We have seven of them, of which right now we're in the sixth. And that is the dispensation of what?
Grace.
Okay. God's unmerited favor towards men. The basis of his merited favor is giving man an opportunity to know him without having to go through 613 standards that he says, this is the way that you get to me. He had provided Jesus. And all we had to do was believe on him and we would be saved. Through him is our righteousness. Through him we live, we move, we have our being, as the scripture says.
Okay.
So we believe all that. And we do that by how? Faith. That God said it, so it is. Okay. So now, Lord, I have an issue. What's your issue? I got some things that I've done. I have some things that are in my life that are just, I have no earthly ability to change in and of myself. So I need your help. Is that not a legitimate question and desire to ask God?
Yes.
Okay. So our issue then becomes, what kind of answer should we expect? And I want to wrap through all of this stuff because that's what it boils down to. I know what the word says. I know what I did. I know what, in listening to other people saying, well, I'm not believing enough. And do this and write this down and pray for this and fast and all of these things. So if you're in a level of maturity where you've done those things and you still haven't got the manifestation, that's a big church word for it just didn't happen, then I have to ask this question. What, God, this is what we ask, am I doing wrong? Is everybody with me? I have to be doing something wrong because, God, you said, right? That usually that precedes the aspect of, what am I doing wrong? Because you said. Am I good people? Okay. So I am left with now, God, you answering the question, one, am I doing something wrong? The issue of self-inventory must be a part of the circumstance that I'm dealing with. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? What am I missing? What am I not being consistent in? Because there are some things that possibly, that I should have been doing that I didn't do that has me in the plight that I'm in right now. There's a possibility of that. There's maybe some actions that I did that created this circumstance because I believed the lie of the devil. Hello? That didn't want to make me do it, but I believed that whatever was presented before me, I had to do it this way. And when I did it that way, it ended up making things worse. And now I'm asking God to help me out of it. And God said, but you got to do inventory. How'd you get into it? So I have to consider that. I'm taking inventory. Thirdly, if I've done the inventory and I've come to a place now where I've done all that I know to do, now, God, what is it that you're supposed to do? Because I know what your word said. What are you supposed to do, God, when it comes to this matter that I'm faced with? And what does God do? What does Jesus always do when people ask him questions in regards to what they should do or how they should do? What did Jesus do? I'm going to ask you, what do you think? What do you think Jesus did when people asked him questions about life? Say it to me.
Yes.
Good job.
Yes.
That's exactly what he did. Good job. It's not funny. That's what he does. That's what he did. So now here's the thing that we have to take into consideration. What question is God asking me about why I'm asking him about what is going on here? Well, he does talk to you.
Talk to me like people say, oh, God said, no. I know that he designed my mind in the way that I think.
Uh-huh.
So I ask him to help me think.
Yes.
I do not trust anything this, because there's...
No, I got that, kid. You don't have to go in.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
But God does talk to you.
Okay.
Let me settle everybody, because all of this stuff when people saying, oh, I heard God and their level of maturity, it's cool. I can't question that. But I'm going to tell you how God talks to us. The dispensation that we live in that is different from what we talked about with people in the past is that a lot of this was not written down and documented for people to believe, so God had to audibly speak to people. Is everybody tracking?
Amen.
They had to talk to people because this wasn't documented. When he spoke to Abraham, guess what? The first five books hadn't been written yet because the guy wasn't born yet. Who wrote the first five books? That was Moses. It's all the experience of in that dispensation. And God couldn't give all of this in one time. Why? Because nobody would remember it. So how did he speak to people? He dispensed a little bit of inspiration by a little bit of information. And when you did it, why Abraham is called the father of faith? Because the little bit of information that God dispensed to him, he believed God. Are y'all tracking? So, he does speak to you. All right? But the issue is, God is asking us a question. When we ask the question, God, why are you not taking care of this? Or God, I've had this situation. We have to be able to listen and say to ourselves, God, what are you asking me? I can guarantee you nobody's going to teach you this. They're not going to tell you, they're going to try to throw out the word. You ain't doing something. You ain't doing enough. You need to do this. But the reality of it is, if you've done everything you know to do, then you've got to ask yourself the question, God, what are you saying to me? Or what are you asking of me to do here? I'm going to give you an example from your example of your life. For 15, 16 years, I have been in debt. I owe people money. People that I want to pay back. Lord, as of this date, I have not generated enough funds in which to make that. God, you know my heart. Thank you. And you also know how you made me. Now, this is me and you talking. So, you know how you made me. So, I've been limiting God. You know this. I don't want to pay this debt. What can you help me to pay this debt? God's question to you is, why? Why?
I'm not supposed to be in debt.
Okay, let's deal with that for a minute. We're going to break it down. Because remember, we said God speaks to us through the word. The scripture says, do not be in debt. Right? It says, do not be in debt. It doesn't say that you're not supposed to be in debt. The inference is, you shouldn't be. But you might be. Are y'all tracking?
Amen. Yes.
And there's things that we know that there are things that we did that caused us to get into debt. God is not dumb. He tells us not to, but there's a whole bunch of other things that came along before you got into debt.
Amen.
Like you, but you did, and you finished saying, well, your parents told you got to go to college. Well, in order to go to college, you got to take out all these loans. Why did you have to take out loans? Because mommy and daddy didn't have the money to do it, so I had to do it. Right? Right? Okay, so did you go to hell? Because you signed on the dotted line about the debt? No. Do you know that God knew that when you did that you were going to incur all of this? Yes.
For X number of years.
So the question now is, after all of those years, why are you asking me that? Now, listen, Kathy, I want you to listen. I'm saying from God's perspective, and I'm giving you as an analogy. Keith, for all of these years I've been taking care of you. For all of these years, even though they harass you about it. For all these years, even though I know it's your heart's desire to take care of that, I don't want, but this is Pastor Rich helping you to understand the possibility that God is saying to you. I don't want your money to go to them because you know what? There's a couple of things that's going to be changing in the government, and soon enough, you may not have to owe anything. Save your money. What little you think you have right now, just hold on to it. I need for you specifically, because remember, this is not business, this is personal. Now for some, he provides. Look, you got debt, you got money coming in, boom. Hey, I got this debt. God, you don't want me in debt, and you provided for me to get out. Praise the Lord. I'm content with that. But there's others that I'm sitting around, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. Not because I'm just going to wait on the Lord, and I ain't going to do nothing, but God, I've done everything. And yet this is still here, I ain't worried about it. I can't focus. I can't put my focus on something that I can't do anything about. God, it's in your hands.
That's right.
God, I want to be out of debt, but for whatever reason, you are choosing for me not to be out. It sounds like a guy that I know in the Bible named Paul. Mm-hmm. Lord, I prayed 3 times for you to take this thorn in my side away from me. 3 times I prayed. And I not only prayed, but I was like, Lord, look, what I'm doing for you and all, I need you to deal with this. And he said to me, talk about the word that speaks directly to us. God speaking to Paul, but speaking directly to Paul about his circumstance, but speaking to all of us and how we should respond when we have certain things that we have prayed. Because his answer is always there. It's about perspective, though. If I'm focused so much on the 16 or so years that I've been in debt and being upset that God didn't answer the prayer, I'm missing the fact that all these other things that he's done has declared that I got you. Even with what you perceive as a little bit, I got you. Do what you can. Let me take care of the rest. Now, there's some of us now, okay, we're going to go kind of bring this down to some just basic things that we do run into. I don't mean to put you on blast right now, but I wanted to just share because it's real. Close your eyes. Because your situation is no different than anybody else's about the lack of transportation. Right? Just struggling with, how do I get around? I got to go to work. I want to do things. I want to go. Have you prayed and asked God, God, give me a car? Yeah. And has he answered? I'm sorry, I'm scaring some people. But this is me, y'all. This is just how I do. Because I don't have time to be, we don't have time to be playing church. Life is too real. That's good news.
Amen.
When is that kicking off?
Well, she got the car ready and I'm going to start
the payments
on Friday. But she's
not going to
have
it
until I have my license.
I see.
Somebody told you?
Can I give you my license? No. It's gone. So when are you anticipating this happening? How long have you been praying for that? For about a year. And you planned that, right? You planned that. You just knew that that was going to happen, right? Yeah. The point I'm making is your circumstance is personal. There's some other people in here believing God for transportation and things of that nature, and it never came through, it never manifested like that. But he knows where you are and what he needs, what, watch this. And this is where people mess up. Not you, but people. God answers their prayer, and then they go and they take credit for it. God answers their prayer, and then they go and they do things that have nothing to do with God anymore. So I'm just going to encourage you. God, give you that transportation. So you're going out and doing stuff that you should be doing, going places you should be going, or having people in your car that are not of God. Because if he blesses you really, then you need to be a good steward. You hear what I'm saying to you?
I thought you were going to say something totally different. Like, I thought you were going to say, if he answered your prayer, then he knows what he needs for you to do with what he's given.
That's another thing. Thanks, kid.
That's the good steward.
That's what I thought you were going
to
say.
Well, no, I don't have to say everything.
Okay. It's the good steward part.
Yeah, the good steward, but I'm saying you made it plain. You know, the bottom line is that if he's providing for you, guess what? Usually when God blesses us, it's because, like Joseph, the blessing is to be overflowing so that we can give to other people.
But that goes back to what you said earlier about the why.
Why?
God asks us, and people say, well, he's not. No, there is a why. Why do you want him to do this? Do you want him to do this again so you can take credit? Why do you want him to bless you so that you're debt-free? Are you going to take this money and bless his people and bless his kingdom? Or are you going to go out there and wild out and go buy this new car, this new house? Again, it's all about perspective. And why are you asking for what it is that you're asking for?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so... I heard what you said this whole tonight, and I'm trying to apply it to my faith crisis.
Okay.
But it's not.
It's not gelling?
No.
Okay. So can you share with me what the crisis is?
Okay. So my faith crisis didn't necessarily have to do with me. It just has to do with.
Wait. What? First of all. My faith crisis.
Okay, well, okay.
Okay,
well.
Y'all see how these
faith,
things.
Faith in God for somebody else, and it's not money. It's health.
Okay.
Okay. So you're praying to God, doing what you have to do for help, you know, for their help, but then it doesn't happen.
Okay.
So how do you deal with that? Like, if
Have I prayed for God to heal somebody of cancer?
Yes.
As a believer, based upon the word of God, that they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
And the person doesn't recover.
And doesn't recover. How do you define recover? I'm just keeping it real. How would I define it? I would define it as that guy, that woman gets up, they're cancer-free, praise the Lord, look at what...
Cancer-free on earth.
On earth, no, got you. I understand it. That's what we're thinking. But how does God define recover? See, you and I, all of us, we have to transcend just where we are. Because sometimes God is sovereign. Okay, somebody correct me. When I say stuff, correct me. Sometimes God is sovereign.
God is sovereign.
I'm just saying. God is sovereign.
Period.
All the time. What does sovereign mean?
Go ahead, Joseph. What is sovereign?
I see you, sister.
Completely autonomous. He has control. He does what he wants to do.
When he wants to do it.
Sovereignty.
Why?
Is power.
Huh?
Sovereignty is power. It's the ability to exercise power. So
because he's God.
What is our problem?
We don't agree with that.
What else is our problem?
We don't understand it.
You don't want to wait.
But here's the crisis though, because when we hear that, and I know what kind of way you got, you're like, but wait a minute, I'm not vying for power. I'm just laying hands on this person because I want them to get well. I want them to be better. I want them to feel better. Am I right?
Yeah.
But we don't understand it. And what I'm saying is we have to begin to transcend the issue of God. When I do something, is it in your will? Laying hands is in your will. I know that because you say that. I have faith that this person is going to be healed. Question. What is God going to ask you? I have faith for this person. What is God going to say to you?
Stephanie, what is he
going to
say?
Come on, man. I need you to feed us. Come on.
What's the question? I'm sorry. What's the question?
The question was, when I'm genuine in my prayer over somebody who's sick, and I'm saying I'm appropriating my faith to their circumstance, and it doesn't happen, what is God asking me? And after God, you didn't heal them. What is God asking me?
Are we truly trusting him that whatever he decides, whatever his will is, are we completely trusting him?
Trusting him.
Because our perspective of healing may not be his perspective of healing.
That's
all. It goes back.
Go ahead.
And the healing might not be his will.
No, come on, Steph, come on. Okay, somebody say something over here.
Oh, I was just saying the healing of that person might not be in his will, and you have to trust that that's
his will.
His will,
you gotta
and
trust that
it can handle that answer.
Okay, that's excellent. But there's another side to it. What, Keith?
Okay, when Jesus was here and people saying, heal me, he healed them in the way that we understand healing. That's why when we see the stuff in the Word, lay hands and he'll be healed, we still have that understanding of the Word and him doing it that way. Now, this explanation of God doing something is a completely
stretching. No, not at all.
Because Jesus didn't say, oh, well, I healed him the way God wanted to be healed. Back in the day.
Can I say something? I'm going to defer. I'm going to get you, Keith. I'm saying stuff.
Come ahead.
I got to get you.
Well, I mean, this is helping me. That's why I'm saying it.
How many of you have ever had a pet that was sick? Like a dog that you had for a long time. That's it. How many of you have ever had that? And this is going to sound real crass, and it's going to sound real crude and kind of heartless, but it's the context that I can think of. And that pet that you had, because I'm speaking from experience, I had a dog that got lung cancer. Love that dog. Yeah, he got lung cancer. And there wasn't anything that could be done with cancer as far as what we could understand. So usually what happens is that comes to a pet. The pet now. I know that sounds cruel, that sounds crass, but it's the solution. It's a plan. And ultimately, we're supposed to go back to him anyway, right? We're supposed to go back to God anyway. And the way to do that is that we've got to be out of these bodies and take it back to him. And it doesn't make sense to us because we want that person to get back up. We want that person to walk away. We want that person to look like what healing is. It may not be what you think it is. It may be something else. And that's what he's talking about as far as the trust is concerned. We have to trust that whatever God decides to do for that person is the best thing to do. Whether it looks like something that's comfortable or not.
Okay,
is that what you're saying?
No, I was going beyond that because you're right in regards to that. You go back to the issue of trusting God that whatever decision he makes, because he's sovereign in our terms, that means God is right.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's taking someone to be with him, then he's right. Right. Okay, then I'm because I'm going to get you because you here's the beauty of you, Keith. You challenge us to think, because the reality of what you're saying is what most people are experiencing, but don't have the boldness to be able to confront us as believers with what we believe. And we need to know what we believe, because there's real life stuff that's going on. So go ahead, Joseph. I'm going to let you do
what I heard from you. When Jesus heals them, he healed them in real time. It wasn't.
So he healed them the way that we would understand. Like if you had leprosy, boom, you didn't have leprosy. The man that was dead, Lazarus. You know, they was like, oh Jesus, if you had showed up sooner, he wouldn't have died. Boom, he made Lazarus get back up. He didn't say, well, the Lord wanted him to die. So you know,
he was. What? Could he always do?
Could he always do that?
Is he always able to heal somebody?
He might have messed up.
So if he said, if somebody was sick and came up to him every time, was he always able to heal that person?
Yeah, I don't know.
He wasn't. So if I tell you he wasn't, then what would that make you think about this real-time Jesus healing everybody as soon as it happened? When he went to his hometown.
Well, it makes me think of him saying that I only do what my father did.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly.
Never helped.
It's got
to
align.
It's
got to be healed.
It's
got to be aligned.
So I can heal
everything. It's not going to happen at the exact same time you want it to happen. You can look at Sarah and Dad because they wanted the kid.
Don't even go there. Stop. Answered your own question. Real time, at Jesus' time, and the aspect of what he was capable of doing is because he only did what God told him to do. Now here's inventory time. Do we always do what the Father in heaven tells us to do? No. Let me backtrack for a moment to say this in encouraging your actions. God may not have said to you directly, go lay hands on him, but you went to appropriate God's word because your heart's desire was for a person to be well. Am I right? Now let me put words in your mouth, because I'm gonna speak to you from a personal situation that I had a faith crisis in that moment. So you didn't hear from God to say, go lay hands on her or him. They're going to recover. You didn't hear that. Okay. So what we're dealing with then, as what most Christians find themselves doing, and it sounds foul and it sounds whatever, but we gambling with God. 50-50 chance that whatever I'm doing here, because I know the word and I know what he wants, and according to the word, that what he says is going to manifest. I'm running the risk because I didn't stop to say, God, is this what you want, though? Why? Because God is sovereign. And you know what? You might say, I want to see this person healed. And if you're listening, I'm not judging anybody because I'm right there with y'all. I'm still trying to figure out, God, what are you telling me to do? Da, 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 da. But the reality of it is, this is where he wants us, though. In the times in which we live, we don't have time to be playing Russian roulette with God or his word or the issues that pertain to our lives. We don't have time for it. But we don't have time to be throwing the word at God and saying, God, you said, when God is saying, I said it, but did I say to you that that was going to happen right now in this instant? Did you take time to spend with me to find out if that's even what I want to have happen?
Mm-hmm.
God, I want to pay my debt. Did you spend time with me, Keith, when all this complaining that you, I'm just playing devil's advocate, all this complaining you're doing about being in debt, I've never let you experience being homeless, hungry, clothless. The jobs that you've had them, they've come, they've gone, you spent a lot of time doing it. And all of those things that you did, some of it you prayed to me directly about, some of the things you didn't do, you just did your own thing. But have you ever really taken inventory, Keith, to stop and say, God, do you want me to do this? And I'm not just talking about Keith, I'm talking about all of us.
Praise God.
Listen to me. We haven't, I'm not sitting here to say that we've all arrived, you know, to be able to do that. But I'm saying to you, this is the place where God wants us to begin to explore the level of our relationship to Him, where God, can I hear you for the specifics of now? Because as baby Christians, and Heather, I'm not saying or knocking your experience, but many of us have experienced that, God, I prayed in a very short period of time. You manifested something for me. Why does He do that? To encourage your faith. Mm-hmm. To get you to a place where different faith crises that come, God, if you did that, then what are you saying to me now? You knew I needed that, and you provided it. God, I'm praying for you this right now. But what are you saying? Do I even need that right now? Is that creating something in people's minds that is not going to be beneficial to them? Here's the other side of that faith crisis that you're talking about. Your faith for another person. You got to understand something. You can't appropriate your faith for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You can believe God in terms of His word, per His instruction. But if they don't have enough faith to be able to deal with that situation for themselves, right, and only God knows where they're at in that level, God is sovereign. Sometimes, and watch this, sometimes people in that position, they don't want to be here.
Amen.
I'm not saying your situation is like that. But I'm saying that there are a lot of times because we do the corporate, collective church thing. Well, we're going to go to the hospital, and that person is going to come out of, and that person is like, I have lived. And they may be young. God has told me. God has told me it's time to go home. Stop praying for me. Hello? See, this is the reality.
Like, that's the girl.
Because that would be hard.
It would be. Mm-hmm. But that's where that's where faith comes in, because faith is not always easy. But that's the kind of relationship that God wants to develop us to get to. Everything is not always going to go our way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing.
Amen.
That's not a bad thing. Why? Because sometimes things go in our way. And as I said, sometimes it gets to a place where we start getting arrogant. That's when you get these people on TV talking about, you send me this, or you do this for me, or you do this. God is going to. Since when do you tell God what to do? That's unrealistic for people to believe that, but people believe that kind of stuff because they haven't read the word for themselves to understand God wants a personal relationship with you. And because it's personal, He knows you better than you know yourself. And He wants to develop something in you. So you know what? God's will be done. You may die in debt. So what? God's grace is sufficient for you. God forbid something happened to you tonight, Keith. Guess what? Guess what's going to happen to that debt? I'm saying, you're worrying about something that if you weren't here, you wouldn't be worried about anyway. Nothing was done about it. Nothing can be done about it then. Why are you worrying about it now? Nothing can be done about it now. Right? You tracking? I'm just saying that's your situation. So for each and every one of us, wherever the crisis is, first you have to get to the first point that we made. It's a test. It's a test to find out where you are in your relationship with Him. I need you to trust me. God, I need you to do this. I mean, I've had prayers like, God, I need you to do this. And the circumstance got worse. And the question I had to ask myself is, God, what am I doing wrong? And there was some correction that came with that. Okay, and I started doing what you say. I corrected myself. God is still not doing what it is that I needed to do. Now the question is, why are you needing it to do what it's not doing? Why are you needing it to do? And my answer is kind of similar to what we're saying. Well, God, so that I know that it's you. You should know that it's me, whether it happens or not. Oh my goodness, y'all, you're not saying nothing about it. That's where he's trying to get us to. Hebrews chapter 11, verse
7, 8.
You can talk about Job, but I'm saying New Testament. I'm talking about individuals now in the aspect of they're waiting on God to fulfill the promise of the Messiah. Never saw it happen in the natural. Never saw it. They are faith warriors because they believe God. And God says in his word, this is the type of faith that I need you to develop. Whether it happens or not, I'm God.
See, Job means even if you might not be doing anything that warrants the type of crisis that
you're in. That's a whole other thing.
And it's no one's fault, it's not God's fault. The rain shines, it rains on the wicked, it just doesn't, but yeah, I mean, the sun shines on it's the same, so that was the big thing.
So the issue about the inventory of our prayer, what we ask God, what we want from God, the aspect of our provision, because that's what we're talking about, y'all, the aspect of our provision, you got to take us on a little trip. Two things, God is sovereign, two, you may have faith for the person to be healed, but they may not have faith for it, and then finally, did God even tell you to do that? I mean, directly, did God? I mean, I know we do things, and we do things out of the purity of our heart. God, you say in your word to lay hands on the sick. So I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying that God helping us to take it to the next level. When we don't see certain things happen, maybe I need to check myself and ask God. I know you say, do you want me to? Do you want me to? You may not want you to. You may want somebody else to. And that person that he sent is not a prayer for that person to become healed, but to give comfort to that person because they're ready to go. Yeah, I'm trapping. Is this bothering you anymore? This is the reality of our faith. That's the reality of our faith. Everything don't go our way, but it's not because of things going bad or I didn't do this or I didn't do that all the time. And in those circumstances where it's out of our hands, we have to trust God. We have to. And it's not easy, but it's necessary. And it's not fun all the time. But sometimes it takes years.
I think our problem is my problem. We all different. It's my problem. It's my eyes.
Okay?
Like Peter. He was cool when he just looked at Jesus and had faith. But when his eyes saw what was going on, it sucked the little faith he had out of him and he started to sink. That's my problem. I see the grace, you know, and the favor is with me. I can see that and I know you're with me. That helps me to know that he's with me. But when certain stuff starts happening, it just sucks the
faith. Finish the story.
Out. Yeah.
Finish the story.
You're
going to throw the word out to
you. No, I'm talking.
No, Keith, finish the story.
What part?
That part. Good. Okay. That,
y'all know the story of Jesus, don't you?
Well.
It's not helping.
Okay. Do you know the story? Can you tell me the story? First thing that happened was what? That's right. Yeah. So first thing was a storm. What happened?
You know the story.
Go ahead. Jesus was asleep. Go ahead. Freaking out. I love that word. Disciples were freaking out.
Yeah, we said that in church.
Why were they trying to do that? Now, don't get churchy on me. Why were they freaking out? Why were they freaking out? Because they thought they were going
to die.
Boom! They thought they were going to die. So they were trying to wake up Jesus, and what happened after that? What did he say?
Peace be still.
He said, peace be still, man.
Have faith in God.
And then what did he say to the disciples?
I don't know exactly what he said, but I know that he said something and the storm stopped.
So would you agree that the storm thing was out of their control?
Right?
Yeah, it was out of their control. They had no other options, right? Now track this. They had no other option. But I want y'all to track this. Majority of them were fishermen. Would you think that fishermen had some experience on boats and storms and things of that nature?
Mm-hmm.
So would we Didn't we agree that this storm apparently was above their pay grade? What they were able to do? So what did they? Okay, so that story. What happened? What did they have to do? What you just said? They freaked out, and then they did what? Stop. There you go. Okay, that's that story. Called out to Jesus. We're talking about the story of Peter. Peter, this is another storm that's going on. Jesus this time is not in the boat. He's on the shore. He said, we're going to go to the other side. They get in the boat. Somehow, I don't know, they thought he was with them. He wasn't. They're in the middle of the, wherever they were, storm hits. I mean, it's wilding out again. Here we go, right? We're acting crazy. Then they look out and they see what seems to be a ghost. That's what the Bible says. It looked like a ghost. And they say, it's a ghost. And Peter, being Peter, he looks and he makes a statement in regards to Jesus. If it's you,
bid me come.
That's old English. You say, hey, call me to you because I'm going to be where you are. Jesus said, come on, help me out. Come. It's storming. Okay? It's storming. We're in a boat. It's doing all of this, but we're in the boat.
Well, that was crazy. For you to ask that question.
It was, but we're in the boat. It's storming. It's doing all of this stuff. We're fearful of death, but we're in the boat. We're safe. You'd be safer in the storm, in the boat, or out of the boat. In the boat. Peter says, bid me come. One, Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of the storm. Right? Peter gets out of the boat. Fisherman, skilled. Out of the boat, in the storm. He begins to do what?
Walk on the water.
Walk on the water. How is he doing that, Keith?
Okay.
Come on, because you just explained to me.
Because he believed Jesus, he had his eyes.
Okay, don't give me the church answer. You're right. You're right. But what was he doing? He stepped out of the boat. Jesus bid him come. What is he doing? He's walking on water, but what is he doing? Looking at Jesus. Okay. They call on Jesus. This is out of my control. They call on Jesus. He steps out of the boat, but he never takes his eyes off of Jesus until the waves and he starts. His attention now is off of the word.
Man, got it.
Another story sounds too.
It does. He takes his eyes off the word. The word was come. Come what? Come be where I am. Come on. So he's doing it. He's doing it. Okay? But he takes his eyes off, and then he what? He begins to what? Sink. What? Now finish the story. Let's finish the story now. Yes, sir.
Jesus picks him up and walk back to the boat, right?
That's right. They do what?
They walk back to the boat.
It doesn't. Jesus, in this instance, the scripture does not say that he tells the storm, all right, be cool, chill out. So it's still storming.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, please.
Amen. I got it.
The mess is still happening all around. The drama is still going on.
Take you through. Yes.
Peter has failed. I want y'all to track this. When Jesus said, come, Jesus didn't walk towards Peter. So wherever Jesus stopped to say come, he was still there. Watch this. Peter got close enough. Anybody ever just been just right there? And then you just lost it. Lost faith, whatever. He had to be close enough for Jesus to reach down, grab him, and pull him up. He was right there. Are you hearing me, please?
Amen. Praise God.
He was right there. And many times when we miss it with God, it's not because he's so far off. It's because we were right there.
Praise God.
But even when we sink, because we were right there, God is right there to pull us up. Storm's still going on.
Yes.
Mess is still happening. But we are with the Lord.
Praise God.
Death's still there, King. But you are with the Lord. death is going to happen, but we are with the Lord. Drama is going to ensue. But we are with the Lord. And they walk back to the boat. They walk back to the boat. On the water. In the midst of the storm. It didn't say, listen y'all, it didn't say Jesus carried him. They walked back to the boat. So whatever your inability, Peter proved that with all of us, when you take your eyes off the Lord, it is probable you will fail, you will fall. But you don't realize many times you're so close. It is a message.
Man.
So close. Faith does not come by what you see. We walk by faith, not by
sight.
When we talk about sight, we're talking about the aspect of our anticipating seeing something that we want to see. Sometimes we get it, and it's a blessing. It encourages our faith. Other times, we just going to have to trust God. We just going to have to trust Him. Whatever happens, happens. That's the disciples of old. Whatever's going to happen. The Romans like, you might as well denounce your God because I'm about to cut your head off. Well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I trust God. And here we are some 2,000 plus years later. Why are we here? Because there were people. This is the whole purpose of the message from Sunday. Is that there's a conviction. I don't just believe God frivolously, but then when things don't go my way, then I just kind of go do my own thing, and then I come back to God, and I'm like, oh, you were right, Lord. God does not want you to be that way. That's schizophrenic. That's like, you don't decide what you're going to do. You know me or do you not know me? And if you know me, then you're going to know that I am who I say that I am, and I can do what I say I can do. But you got to trust that whatever I do, it's right. So if I tell you to give... Okay, true story. If y'all don't know, I am a Jordan fanatic when it comes to my kicks and my clothes. When I was much younger, I was even worse a fanatic. Jordan, those are my kicks. They still are my kicks. My mindset is a little bit different about it now. Because I was on the road, I was on tour, I was working with the power team. Some of y'all are familiar with the guys who break bricks and stuff like that. I was on tour with them. And one of the guys, I mean, I'm thinking that these guys, you know, they go around the country. I find out that their whole testimony is that these guys volunteer and sacrifice their time for an entire year just trusting and believing God to provide food and housing and things of that nature for all of these different churches that they go to. So they broke. They break things because they broke. Whatever. And so one of the individuals who me and him began to gel just because of similarity in background, he was just sharing with me a little bit about himself and his family and stuff like that. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to know his background, coming from jail, whatever. God touched his heart. God told him to go and do this. He had made a lot of money doing dirt and what have you. But, of course, you don't get to keep that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Goes to jail, gets out of jail, gets saved. Really commits himself to God, finds the power team. He's a pretty big guy. His name was Mo. He looked like a Mo, but he was the nicest dude. And he's beginning to share my testimony. I look down at his feet, and I see his shoes that he performed in. And they tore up from the floor. And you know what God said?
Give me shoes. Give me shoes. Give me shoes.
I had just purchased a brand new fresh pair of Jordan 2s. It took me a good year and a half for me to find them, because the 2s, for some strange reason, Joseph, they don't make them consistently like they do the 1s and 5s and 12s. But back then it was even more obscure because the retro stuff hadn't really kicked in yet. So I just got these shoes. I just got them. I was like, I had the fresh outfit. I was ready to perform. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
I got, and I'm like... So watch it. I had other shoes, but I had changed into my performance clothes, and that was going to top it off. Y'all not hearing me. I'm being serious.
I can't
And God said, give that man those slippers. Mm-hmm.
Alright.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how that conversation went.
Oh, okay.
It's like probably exactly how you think it.
Yeah.
God, did you really say? That's how it went. God, did you for real? But then at the same time that I'm asking God for real, I know it was God. I know. Not because of the sob story, not, but just on the strength of I look and God said, give me a shoe. What? So I go to Miss Tracy. Now everybody know Miss Tracy. If you know Miss Tracy, this is not even a question, right? So I go to my wife and say, we just bought these. And I'm trying to convince her. You know, we just bought these shoes. They're not really cheap or what have you. But God, the Lord told me to give them the shoes. Miss Tracy looked at me and said, so why are they on your feet? She said,
okay.
Oh! Right? In the flesh. But reality over there. I went to her, not because I wanted to convince her of the no, but sometimes God places you with people who have their faith in a particular area to do is stronger than yours, and it encourages you. And the bottom line is, I knew what my wife was going to say even before I went to her. What do you still got them on for? I took the shoes off. I put my old kicks back on. I went to him. I said, dude, here, I need you to have them. And he looked at me, and dude broke, this big 260-pound dude who breaks bricks broke down crying. Mm-hmm. And he broke down crying. He shared with me when we back to after the show. He broke down crying is because he had been asking his teammates to help him out if they could on this next round, which was our show, that if we made generate enough money for them to be able to kind of pulled the finances together to get him some kicks. And before we went and did the show,
the kicks.
God provided them. So that they wouldn't lose. It's all about perspective. Doing what God tells you to do. From that point on, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. If the Lord tells me to do anything with shoes, clothes, anything of that nature, I don't have a problem with it. I have a conviction to say it doesn't really even matter. That's my testimony. I didn't get it because, you know what, God is going to turn around and give me sevenfold back. No, it wasn't about that. It's not about that. Now watch this. He did. But my motivation wasn't about what I was going to get back because I did this for God. It was about God said to do it, and I needed to do it. And not, it didn't just bless him, but it blessed the entire team because they were going to sacrifice. And God saw them. And he took this little rapper who just got a pair of sneakers. Here's the other side of it, too. They were too big for me. They were half a size. Don't laugh. They were too big, but they were Jordans, so they didn't care. But they were the right size for him. I'm not making this up. When Miss Tracy come back, you can ask her. I'm not shining you on and trying to give you some little. This is what really happened. So you never know. When you're obedient to what God tells you, if you brought it out, Jesus said, I only do what the Father instructs. So when he's going around and he's healing people and everybody's, here's the other side of it. Daily, for hours, Jesus spent time in prayer. For hours. Can you imagine what God will tell you in hours of time with him? You feel me? I'm just saying. I don't know. And it's a sacrifice because if he's going in the evening and he's praying all through the night and then the next day he's up and he's doing these incredible things, it's not because he's trying to impress people and look at me, I'm God. It's because the Father said, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. This is where you're going to go. This is what you got to show. And as you're teaching, this is going to happen. But that's the kind of relationship that Jesus had, then that, and that he inspires us to have. Lord, will I ever make it there like that? Aspire to it. Aspire to it. Does everybody know what that means? That means that as I'm walking this journey of life, I'm in pursuit of being able to hear God like that. I'm your pastor. I haven't arrived, y'all. I'm getting there. And I'm seeing evidence of that in my life even now. So let me just put this out there as another testimony here recently. Many of y'all know that I was driving a big red Challenger, Dodge Challenger in 2015. What happened? God told me I need to give that car. He told me that. And he told me how I was supposed to do it. He told me who to go to, who to talk to, and he told me what to ask for. So I did it. Did it bother you, Pastor? Not really. Not really. I've had cars, I've had this, I had that, but God told me to do this specifically. He gave me a specific direction in regards to what I needed to ask for, what it was that was going to happen, and what I was going to be paying. I'm paying $300 less than what I was paying before. My interest rates are right at 3-4%, where it was 6% on the red car. I have less years to pay back on this car that I'm driving now, and I'm saving gas because that Challenger was eating me up in regards to gas. And you know what inspired the thought? When God spoke, what you taught, man? The issue of being a good steward. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Yeah, it was a nice car. It was. It wasn't my dream car, but it was a nice car. I liked it. Big win. Don't be mad. You didn't get to get beat. I'm sorry. But God said to do something, and I had to be obedient. I had to. And there are things that God is going to be asking of many of us that he isn't already asking. I just want to encourage you guys. This next level of what faith is about hearing what God says and doing it. And that's not always easy. I ain't gonna lie to you. But it's necessary. It's necessary. Yes, you can.
I wasn't even going to come tonight, to be honest. Okay. Ever since Sunday, God has been dealing with me about something in particular. And the last couple of days have been up and down for me. And today, I ended up having to go to one of my clients' houses, and we were having a conversation. And she actually just lost her boyfriend that she's been with for 5 years. Like, he all of a sudden got sick. Was in a hospital in a coma for 2 months and passed away. They don't know what, like, they can't even explain what happened, what caused him to get sick. He was perfectly fine, and all of a sudden he got sick and passed away. And so we were just having a conversation about faith, about life, and about relationships. And technically, I'm not supposed to get personal with my clients, but when you deal with somebody for some years, you get this bond and this attachment with them, and so there's some things that happen. And so we were having a conversation about some things that I had been going through, and she said to me, she said, "You don't have any idea how I needed to hear that." And after you gave the sermon on Sunday, when I went home Sunday night, I had a conversation with God, and I've told God I felt like some things that had happened were unfair because I had been praying and I didn't understand why some things had happened the way that they had happened. And he said, "I know you don't understand, but don't just keep doing what I'm telling you to do." And today, when we had the conversation, and I got in my car to leave her house and come here, he reminded me that sometimes we go through things not just for ourselves, but for other people as well. And sometimes we think we're giving up things, but it's not us giving up things. It's him purging things away for him to take us to that next place and that next maturity level in him. And
I have found myself, and he had to remind me, there were times that I would pray to him and say, God, I want a more intimate relationship with you. I want to know you deeper. I want to know you better. But we don't always understand what that means. Sometimes that means there are things that he's got to move out the way for us to be able to have that relationship with him. And it goes hand in hand kind of with what Fumi was saying. When you pray for something and you feel like, okay, in God's word, this is what you said, this is what you told us, so God, I'm speaking this about this situation. I'm saying in your word you say this is good, in your word you say this, in your word you say that. And then for you to tell me something that almost contradicts the very word that you gave me, that's a huge faith crisis for me. That's a huge thing for me to try to rationalize in my brain. I don't understand. That goes completely against what your word says. Completely and utterly against what your word says. But he had to remind me, it's not about what I'm rationalizing in my head. Again, it goes back to his perspective. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, yeah. And his ways are better and higher than our ways. There are things that he sees we have no idea about. We see what we see with our human eyes, but he has a spiritual eye on it. And even when it does not make sense to you, guys, I cannot stress this enough. Whatever he tells you, I promise you, it's better than you leaning onto your own understanding and trying to do your own thing. You cannot go wrong with whatever he tells you. Because a lot of times, we think if we're going to do it our way, it's going to save us pain. It's going to create more pain. And he's actually trying to save you from some things that you don't even know. You don't even see. And it's hard. It is really, really, I've been in church my entire life. It is hard. It is a day-by-day process, just walking this thing out and trusting in God, even when things seem like, again, they're going totally against his word. If he tells you to do it, you cannot go wrong. Trust me, you cannot go wrong. I cannot tell you guys that enough. Like, seriously. Yes, there are examples in the Bible, but I'm telling you, personal experience. You can't go wrong. If he tells you it, just do it. Just do it. And ask him, God, as I'm doing this, give me the strength to walk this out. Give me the strength to do what it is you're telling me to do. Because I'm not going to sit here and say I did it the first time he told me. I didn't. And I won't say that I got whooped for it, but he most definitely brought it to my attention. I told you to do this. Why have you not done it? So this faith, this walking in faith and living in faith, it's a very, very real thing, guys. It is
the most courageous thing that any one of us will do.
And it's scary.
If we believe. Because it's not... Religion tells you everything is going to be okay if you just do all of these steps. And Christendom has fallen into the trap of do all of these steps and everything is going to be okay. And God is saying, everything is going to be okay because I said it, and that's
right.
It. How you look at that, what your perspective is trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. But God, trust me. God is not fair. You're right. Trust me.
That was me Sunday night. I'm so serious. That was me.
God, I don't feel this. This is I've been doing. I hear you. Trust me. And that's where we get broken, as Sister was saying. Some things got to be burned away from us, because really, God is trying to get us to get closer to him, to get to know. At the end of my days, this breath called life that I'm living, I have an option. Do it my way or do it his way. And why we here to encourage each other is because it's not an easy road. As narrow as the path of Scripture says. It's a narrow path. Anybody ever been in the woods? In the mountains? Narrow path? You got to work. Some of us got to lose some pounds. Because it's narrow and there's some work that has to be done. to get from where you are to where it is that you're trying to get to. That's why you live it. Because your life is a testimony to a whole bunch of people. You have no idea that your stance and your conviction will help to alter their life wherever they might be. So thank you guys tonight for just this. Because this is real for me. The Holy Spirit will continue to just deal with you as He deals with me, for us to be able to be the type of people that, as we love God and we love people, the making of disciples is not about a curriculum. It's not about that. It's about, how do I live this life so that somebody's life might be affected, influenced by my love for God. Straight up. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for tonight. Again, man, you're blowing our minds with what you do and what you say and what you're really trying to get us to see. Help us, Lord. Help our unbelief. Help us in our little faith. Help us, Lord, in our walk in relationship with you. God, we want to keep it 100 with you in everything that we say and everything that we do. We have your word. We know that that is the standard by which we are to live. But Lord, we are living, and there are things that challenge us in our faith. We have a real enemy. We recognize that. But Father, help us to understand that you are using us. We are your vessels to reach other people. We are the preachers, Father. We are the proclaimers. And we're asking, Lord God, that you change our perspective. Help us to be content with the things that we have. Help us to rejoice when we are blessed. And help us to understand that when we are challenged, be it a crisis or an issue in life, that you are still God. You are still right. Bless our time and give us safety in our travels as we go home. But if there's anybody in here who needs to know you in a deeper way, if they don't know who you are as Lord over their life, Father, I ask that you just deal with them, talk to them, and have them to share with somebody their desire to want to be a real Christian, whatever that may be. For the rest of us, Lord God, who know you, help us to know you better. In Jesus' name.